You know, when Fred gave me this topic, I asked him if he could find anything harder to talk about. You know, to be quite frank with you, some of the data that's going to be presented here, stuff that we generated, you know, before the Transgenics Council populated. What I'd like to start with here is talk about, obviously, my task is to talk about weed management and conventional cotton systems. The simple, I guess, answer to this would be just go back to what we were doing before the Roundup Ready Liberty Link technologies occurred. Well, that sounds like an easy solution, but it's not necessarily the case or the answer, and largely because of what has happened with the advance of the transgenic technologies, and as Fred mentioned earlier, with the weed resistance issue. We can't necessarily rely on many of those old technologies. Reason for this is because we now have to start focusing on very intensive management, especially in the state of Texas anyway, with regard to the amaranthus species, whether we're talking about Palmer amaranth or common water hemp. Because, again, you may be in a non-transgenic or conventional system, but you still have to worry about the spread of the resistant weed populations. Again, whether it's the Palmer amaranth up in West Texas or whether it's the common water hemp down in Central and Southeast Texas, you got to get them controlled somehow or another. Obviously, as we look at the cotton production regions in the country, we're going to have, or in the state of Texas, excuse me, we're going to have different weed issues and what have you, and such has been the case from the standpoint of weed management in Texas. We have far different issues, for the most part, in the coastal Central Texas Blacklands areas than they have up in the High Plains. The common denominator, as I mentioned earlier, is that we are now getting some resistant weed species occurring in these areas. With regard to procedures, and you know, this is not rocket science, I understand that, but I think it's, you know, we've all heard about Start Clean, using early post-emergence treatments to kill winter weeds, and there's a large selection of different herbicides out there that are available to us. So essentially what we're talking about here, this may not be such as much of an issue on the High Plains, for example, as it is in Central and Southeast Texas, where we've got a lot of winter weeds such as henbit, you know, grasses and what have you. But I think there are a lot of herbicides we can apply to not only give us the protective power of controlling the winter weeds and conserving moisture, for example, which is a big issue now, into getting some residual weed control beyond that. And as I said, I had to dig into some older studies that we've done here. This was from 2008. And what I guess the point I would like to make with this study is there are another number of products, whether we're talking about Caprol or Invoke, that not only give us the henbit control or the control of the weeds in the fallow period, but also in addition offer us, you know, pigweed or careless weed control of both Palmer amaranth and common water hemp. And again, I think this is an avenue that we can take in terms of overall effective weed management from a program approach. You know, using one to help, or one application to help manage weeds further on into the year. Obviously, I don't know if any of you ever got away from using the yellow herbicides, but they're still a bargain. There's no question about it in terms of what they provide. I kind of, 25 years ago, I did a bunch of incorporation studies and what have you to show the difference between one-pass, two-pass incorporation, all this other stuff that we first learned about when the dinitroaniline herbicides came into being. The thing that precipitated this study in 2012 was that I was talking to some guys that farm in the Brazos Bottom there, telling me about, oh, geez, you know, my yellow herbicides aren't working as well as they used to. And I said, well, why aren't they? So I don't know. We're doing everything like we've been doing for the past 20 years. Well, my comment to them was, well, let's go back to 40 years ago when Treflan came in a 5-gallon can. Okay, how did you incorporate it back then? Two passes with a tandem disc, then bedded or left it flat. Okay, then you got 100% pigweed control or grass control. As we got away from that, we started getting a little bit less. So I did this little demonstration. This kind of just, you know, with the exception of the devil's claw in there, which the tref line isn't going to get, but you can see there's not a pigweed in there. This is flat cultures here compared to untreated, and you can see what's going on around there. In addition to that, we did some, you know, different incorporation schemes and then bedded up after that. And again, I guess my whole point in showing this is whether we're talking about, you know, incorporated herbicides or surface applied herbicides such as Prowl, they're still working and they're a bargain, as I said before. And this is the kind of weed management foundation that we have to start with. It begins and ends with a soil applied herbicide, whether we're talking about transgenic or non-transgenic systems or what have you. We got to get a significant and almost total weed control, especially with regard to the Amaranthus species. Obviously, after the soil-applied herbicides, follow up with a pre-emergent herbicide at planting, especially if you think you've got a particularly heavy Amaranthus population or other additional broadleaf weeds in there, like Morning Glory or something like that. Reduced rates, obviously, you know, you're not, with reduced rates, you're not going to buy a shorter window of control. You're going to buy less control for also a shorter period of time. So I'm not big on reduced rates unless you combine them with some other horsepower, such as the study would indicate that we did here, combining, you know, Caparol with Reflex and what have you. And then again, we're starting to get the control up there to where it's very respectable. Another thing, you know, if we compare Palmer Amaranth control, for example, at full label use rates of Promatrine, you know, Caprol or Flumetron or Cotteran with Diuron, again, we start to see what we can do there. And then as we go into the combinations, we can continue to get the weed control from them. Now, these are in absence of a pre-plant incorporated herbicide. So what you have here is you're buying some additional weed management on top of that. Post-emergence herbicides, again, if you take Roundup or Liberty out of the picture, you have to rely on other products out there, whether it's Staple or Invoke or the number of grass herbicides that we have available to us. Another thing that I think we may be missing the boat on a little bit is that if you haven't sold your hooded sprayer, don't. Okay, because there's still a lot of room for it, especially in the case of using conventional cotton. And these are some examples of some lay-by treatments that were done with a hooded sprayer on some, you know, pretty boisterous-sized Palmer amaranth here. And again, you can see that, you know, AIM, for example, combinations here are very active on Morning Glory, a little bit less so with Palmer amaranth. But here is where, again, where if you can go in with a hooded sprayer on conventional cotton and using some, you know, the glyphosate technologies, for example, then it gives you a lot more application flexibility on some fairly large weeds. Now, you're not going to find that on the label, but I'm just showing you what kind of results we've had by boosting the weed management, you know, whether we're talking about ET or AIM in this particular case, and particularly on the Palmer amaranth, that you can really kick up the activity by employing the use. You're either going to be post-directed or hooded spraying the AIM on there anyway, or the ET on there anyway, so throw a little Roundup in there with it. The same thing can be said with other combinations like Invoke, Sopran, Valor, Diuron, what have you. Although good on other species in there, you know, for the Palmer amaranth, it's a little bit bigger challenge, which can, you know, most effectively be managed by some addition of Roundup or glyphosate herbicides in there. on more reasonably sized Palmer Amaranth. Again, obviously Lay-By Pro, which gives you not only the knockdown, but also some residual control that helps you later on into the season. Direx, you know, in combination with Roundup as a lay-by treatment is also very popular in our area because, again, it helps clean up some of the morning glory and then keep the pigweed out of there later on into the season. This is just another example here of a bunch of different combinations. Again, as lay-by hooded applications of herbicides that we use in the transgenic technologies only in non-transgenic cottons, but we're buying the horsepower here in terms of weed management with either the glufosinate or the glyphosate herbicides in here in getting the control of the Palmer amaranth pigweed species here. Another thing I guess I would challenge our growers, especially in the case of non-transgenic or conventional cotton systems, is we need to be aware of changes in our weed species complex out there. Obviously, we see a lot of difference in biotypes from one piece in one pigweed species to the other. In the case of central and southeastern Texas, we've seen a major shift in pigweed species from Palmer amaranth to common water hemp, in issues such as that. The major thing about this is where years ago, 25 years ago, again, most of our common water hemp was confined to the coastal areas of Texas. It has since moved up into the central Texas Blacklands, the Brazos River bottom, and what have you. The concerning thing about this is twofold, essentially. Is first of all, common water hemp is tougher to control than Palmer amaranth, whether we're talking about pre-emergence applications of herbicides or whether we're talking about knockdown applications of post-emergence products. It's just a different beast, even though it's also an amaranthus species. In addition to the fact, it's also the poster child for Roundup resistance, at least in central and southeastern Texas. Now, there's not, to my knowledge, not much of any common water hemp on the high plains growing regions at this point, but my astute colleagues up there, I'm sure, will locate it once it gets there. So we got to be able to recognize it. And I guess they can look at I have a publication that shows you how to tell one from the other here. So with that, I guess I'd like to make a couple different points here. I mentioned earlier that we really have to start thinking about total weed management. Is that me?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Try that a little bit farther away.
Okay, thanks.
I don't know if that'll help or not.
Can y'all still hear me in the back there? All right, great. Okay. I talked earlier about, total weed management, especially with regard to the amaranthus species. We got to start getting off the sprayer and getting out of the pickup and getting every single one of these guys. For no other reason for management of glyphosate-resistant species, even though we may be in a conventional cotton system, because this thing can really light the place up sooner or later. We also, and this is probably the most important thing here, we also have to understand the benefits of using alternative soil-applied herbicides, all right? In our weed management scheme. I think with the advent, and I'm not, laying blame on anybody, but with the advent of the remedial knockdown, clean up the mess approaches that we've had in the transgenic technologies where you can let weeds go for a long time and then come in and nuke the site, then we've almost been led to a false sense of appreciation about what that weed competition has been doing to us. We have to go back to what we learned years and years and years ago, in that the day that weed comes up with the crop, it's picking your pocket. If you let that thing grow for 2 or 3 weeks, even though you can come in and totally eliminate it, you don't realize what that thing has cost you. So in that, what I'm saying is that the sooner you keep the weeds out of there with protective herbicides like pre-plant incorporated yellows and the pre-emergence products, then you're buying a lot of weed control and a lot of protection in terms of yield on the other end there. And as I said, I think that's something that we've kind of forgotten. I've seen that, you know, happen both with, you know, sorghum and corn and what have you. You know, when we have a lot of remedial approaches out there to clean up the mess, we sometimes let it get to a mess before we act on it. And this is a mistake. We really got to keep it clean from day one. There's all kinds of studies that show that in there. So I'll leave you with this. This is a scary scene here. Okay. It looks like a pretty good cotton crop. It's in the Brazos bottom. This guy probably made 3.5 bales. But what I see out there is a hell of a mess for next year, because I see a lot of these weeds and patches of weeds that were uncontrolled out there going to seed and going to be an issue for years to come. So we got to take a little bit different approach with this, but keep in mind we do have the tools. You just have to, you know, be timely in your application and utilize them as we used to. Thanks, Fred.